until 11, Mitchell's Front Page on 94.7 The Pulse.
Well, this is a very interesting conversation to have to do with the distribution of income in Australia. And according to the University of Melbourne, the income for the top 1% of Australian income earners hasn't increased for nearly a decade, which is according to tax data analysed by the Melbourne Institute at the University of Melbourne. And we say a very good morning to Professor, Associate Professor Roger Wilkins of the University of Melbourne. Roger, good morning.
Morning.
So what has been the finding as a result of this research by the Melbourne Institute?
Yeah, well, as you said, in some respects somewhat surprising is that the share of income going to the top income group, so the top 1% or even the top 0.1%, hasn't really been rising over the last sort of 5 to 10 years. It's somewhat surprising in the sense that much of the public discussion recently is about how inequality is rising, and I guess it's also in the broader context is that from the early 80s to the early 2000s there was quite a significant rise in the income, the share of income going to the top income groups, and for reasons that aren't entirely clear, that trend seems to have stopped or at least temporarily paused.
Yes. So obviously that's looking at the top 1%. But what does it mean for the other 99% and obviously the other quintile groups? I mean, is the income distribution among those relatively the same?
Yes. So this comes from taxation records, and it's very it's not really possible with the taxation data to say a lot about what's happening in the rest of the income distribution. But certainly one thing it does imply is that the bottom 99% or even the bottom 90% haven't been falling further behind the top 1% or the top 10% in the last 5 to 10 years. So from that perspective, I mean, we have to regard that as something of a positive outcome. We can also look at the ABS data on household income, and in that is also showing in recent years that inequality hasn't been rising over the last sort of 4 or 5 years. It's in fact been slightly decreasing. Of course, what also that data is showing, unfortunately, is that average incomes are actually fairly flat, and in fact, to some extent, slightly decreasing.
Where, if there's GDP growth, would you expect incomes to be trending upwards?
Well, yes, you would, and I think that's part of the story is that GDP growth hasn't been as strong in the last few years as it has been, particularly in the mid-2000s, but really from the early 90s to the right up to the GFC in 2008-2009, economic growth was very strong in Australia, and that helped deliver very strong income growth for most Australian households. Since then, economic growth has been a lot softer, and we've correspondingly seen incomes not growing nearly as strongly.
I mean, the ABS also uses the Gini coefficient as a measure. Has that been changing throughout the time, or is it also pretty stable?
So that was over the 80s and 90s and early 2000s. It was rising quite steadily, so not at the sort of rates that we've seen on, for example, the US and the UK, but it was nonetheless rising. But as I said, that Gini coefficient has decreased by about 5%, 6% since 2009, according to the ABS data.
So you're saying the Gini coefficient says that income is getting less equal, is that right?
More equal,
okay. Yes. So people that come out and they say on a regular basis, and I assume that you've seen some of the commentary that says Australian incomes are getting less equal, the distribution's getting out of control, and I guess we need more progressive taxation. What would you say in response to those types of claims?
Well, it really depends on your time frame whether you agree or disagree with that statement. If you were to sort of look at the last 30 years, then there's a lot of truth to that assessment about income inequality rising. Now, whether you think that it's too high or too low, that's a very difficult assessment to make. Mm. That's a very individual judgment to make, a very person-to-person judgment. But yes, certainly for the last sort of 5 to 10 years, it looks like income inequality growth has been arrested. I think it's partly because of the effects of the GFC and that's had some effects, but I don't think that's the whole story. So certainly, I guess some of the urgency might have come out of that argument in the sense that it does look like inequality growth has at least paused for the time being.
Yeah, I mean, you're absolutely correct to say that each person has a different opinion on where income distribution should be at, and largely it depends, I guess, on where you sit on the political spectrum. But I guess one measure we could use is just to compare where Australia's Gini coefficient is compared to the rest of the world. I mean, where do we sit relative to some of the other nations of the West?
Yeah, so we're towards the higher end amongst OECD countries, but we're a long way short of the US. So the US is one of the highest inequality countries among the OECD countries. So Australia's certainly above average, but if you were to look at Australia in sort of a cross section of 20 countries, you would say that Australia sort of looks around the middle, but at the upper end of the middle. So we tend to have relatively high inequality, but compared with other OECD countries, but you'd also have to interpret that as still within the same sort of ballpark of many other OECD countries.
Right. And going forward, I mean, what steps do we need to take to make sure that this continues to remain as it is now?
Well, that's a very difficult question to answer, because what we're looking at here is people's income primarily from wages and from capital, so from investments and the like.
Mm.
And so it's not entirely clear what determines those. So, certainly you can do things like have minimum wages and so forth, which can have impacts on wage income and the like. But particularly when you're looking at the top end, it's less clear how you influence the super high wages and the very high investment incomes of those top income groups. If you were looking at income after tax and benefits, well, then there's a lot more you can do as a government to influence that through, as you said earlier, progressive income taxation and also progressive government benefits, so benefits targeting the poor. So I guess broadly speaking, our income tax system has become slightly less progressive over the last 15 years. There's slightly less redistribution of income going on with the income tax system. But then looking forward, just with the effects of bracket creep, it will in fact become somewhat more progressive over the next few years.
Yeah, with bracket creep, would you expect tax rates to fall, or it really just depends on the governing party of the day?
I think we're unlikely to see income tax cuts over the next 10 years, at least broadly speaking. There may be a tweak here or there, but I think given the fiscal position of the government and the projections that we're seeing, we'd be very surprised to see any cuts to income tax rates or indeed even any increases in the thresholds at which the higher tax rates kick in. I think that would be a very difficult decision for a government to do because of the implications that would have for either expenditure cuts or for raising revenue in other ways. And I can't see those as being more politically palatable than simply leaving rates as they are.
Well, Associate Professor Roger Wilkins, thank you so much for joining us this morning.
You're welcome.
Associate Professor Roger Wilkins from the University of Melbourne talking about the distribution of wealth. And it just shows that when you hear anecdotal evidence of how income inequality is getting out of control in this country, that it always pays to go back and hear what the experts have to say. And that says that income is remaining about where it was over the last few years. Although one of the interesting things to come out of that interview was the fact that the global financial crisis played a role in that. In that the global financial crisis put the brakes on some of the people at the top end getting some massive returns on their investments. And as a result, we've seen incomes remain pretty much the same as where they are at the moment. So an interesting report there from the University of Melbourne.